This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, it is VSiN Prime Time here on a Tuesday. Matt Brown, Keith Irizarry in for the guys here on a Tuesday. And Keith, we've got a couple of baseball games that are going to be first pitching here real quick. We'll talk about those before we talk about how rich SGA is and how awesome it must feel to sign that contract. Oh, my goodness. I can't even imagine what that must be like. But we do have the A's and the Rays that are coming here in about the next 4 minutes. If anybody has thoughts here on this game, Springs versus Boz.
Yeah, Boz actually is a pitcher I could rock with a little bit here. Jeffrey Springs has been a little bit of a trouble. I would take Tampa Bay in this one. I actually take them to cover the run line.
Yeah, he is Boz is a very, very polarizing pitcher for me, because it seems like every time that I bet on him, I get one of the blow up starts. And every time that I fade him, you get one of those, he actually has it that day type of deal. I'm not the never guy. So it's not like I never bet him, but man, he's a frustrating bet, Keith. There's no doubt about that.
Sure. Yeah. There's a few guys I think that all of us have on our like list. If you made like a top 10 list of the frustrating players, where honestly, all right, I'll throw one out at you. Yeah. Bobby Witt Jr. Yeah. I feel like every time I give out a Bobby Witt Jr. prop, it misses. And every time I'm thinking about it, it hits. So I don't know. I think what I'm going to start doing is thinking about it, and then I'll just text you and tell you to give that play out, and then it'll hit.
Yeah, it is. It's a minus 170. Well, I mean, you can find 165 in the market out there. So about minus 165 there in favor of Tampa Bay. You can catch 144-ish, something like that, out there in the market if you do want to back the A's. A's not hitting the ball very well here of late. 8.5 to 9 is your total there. In that one, we do also have Cincinnati and Boston going off here momentarily. This is Singer versus Fitz. Minus 120-ish in the market, as always. Shop around in favor of Boston at home here against Cincinnati. This one all the way up at a 10 total. Actually, my screen just flashed. A 10.5 just hit out there, Keith.
I don't know about you, but I'm afraid of those high totals. I'll usually stay away from them. As for me, like I kind of like, you're coming off the Willy Abreu game, right? So right away, people are like, oh, there's going to be a lot more runs. I just kind of stay away from it. Fitz has been nothing special this year. 0-3, 4.68 ERA. Brady Singer is fine. His ERA is a lot higher than it has been in the past at 4.31. So kind of a stay away from me on that side. If I'm going to go with any player props, I usually lean towards guys like Ellie De La Cruz.
Yeah, it's a game in which, for me, I'll take the pass on the 10 as well, but I'm with you. If I'm ever going to bet a total, if it's a double digit total, I'm always going to at least lean towards the under, unless we're getting those crazy, you know, 20 mile an hour winds blowing out to one of these parks where it matters a ton.
So. Wrigley is supposed to be blowing out tonight. Yeah. Wrigley is supposed to be blowing out tonight.
So might get us some fun stuff going on there in that one. The Brewers and the Mets, if you wanted to bet that one, unfortunately, you are not going to be able to. That game has been postponed. So no Brewers and Mets tonight, but we are getting the Angels and the Braves here in about 10 minutes. This is Anderson versus Fuentes, I believe. No, Anderson versus Holmes. Is that who we're going with here in this one?
No, it's Anderson and Fuentes. Yeah. You're right.
Minus 200-ish out there on Atlanta. As always, shop around. Plus 165 to 170 out there if you want to back the Angels on the road. 9.5 is our total here, and you are looking at a play in this one.
I am. All right. So first and foremost, by the way, you know, Ron Washington being out, the Angels have actually played pretty well early on without him. They did lose their last game. The Braves lost their last game as well. But I'll look at Ronald Acuña Jr. I think there's a few ways to attack this one. First and foremost, decent numbers against Tyler Anderson, 2-for-4 with the home run. He has a 6-game homerless drought right now, but he's still hitting the ball very hard. His exit velocity has been strong. His hard hit rate has been high. So I think tonight might be a night he goes yard. I put a sprinkle on a home run at plus 360. Play it safe with the total bases. We're going to go over 1.5 at minus 105. Tyler Anderson, by the way, has given up 4 home runs in his last 3 starts and 15 home runs this season. I actually think there's a way to attack this game with a few different players. I could see Matt Olson doing something. I see Austin Riley doing something. I landed on Acuña, but I think this is a game you can attack the Angels' arms.
Yeah, I'm looking here, and I think I think it is going to be Grant Holmes going for the Braves. MLB.com has Grant Holmes listed as the starter there for that one. Yeah, so Grant Holmes, switched. Yeah, Grant Holmes going for the Braves tonight there in that one. Acuña in the one hole for this Braves squad against Tyler Anderson, Matt Olson, Ozuna, Riley Baldwin, Albies, Verdugo, Harris, and then Allen there for this Braves team. Keith, I got to get to some action that is already behind us here, but we look up and here this Yankees team is again and lose yet again. And you look at the standings now and what looked like them perhaps running away with the division is anything but at this point. Not only do they lose today, get hammered 12-5 by the Blue Jays sitting 47-38 on the season. Yankees now sitting 48-37. I had worries about this team heading into the season as it was anyway. Some older players on the team definitely had to still perform well. The pitching staff I wasn't in love with. That said, I thought I was just dead wrong because it looked like, again, they were going to run away with the division. Are we worried at all about this Yankee squad at this point?
Yes. I'm in New York, right? So I work for networks that cover the New York Mets and the New York Yankees. I can tell you that both fan bases are worried. I would say the Yankees fans are a little bit less worried because Mets fans kind of feel like this is what just always happens. We can't have nice, shiny things, right? And the Mets... did you see that? I know we're talking Yankees here. Yeah. Did you see that stat about the Mets? So the top ERA through the first 2 months of the season... Since then, they have the worst or second worst ERA in all of baseball. I think it's the worst in the National League and the second worst in all of Major League Baseball. So the Mets have gone the wrong way. As for the New York Yankees, you're right. Like once Gerrit Cole went down, you at least were going to have some apprehensions, right? Well, Max Fried came out, looked like he could be a Cy Young winner. And he actually wasn't terrible yesterday in the loss. But you can't lose to the Blue Jays the way you're losing, and you can't allow the Rays and the Blue Jays to just keep hanging around. Both are just one game back. You look at this batting order. Aaron Judge is awesome. I'll leave a pause there for you.
Yeah.
Who else in that batting lineup legitimately scares you? Like, Goldie's been solid. Jazz Chisholm, his batting average actually been pretty good, but he's good for 1-3 strikeouts every single game. Mm-hmm. Volpe has never really lived up to any of the hype that you hoped for. DJ LeMahieu looks like he might as well be me out there on the baseball field right now. Like, it's a beleaguered team, and I don't see them making any big moves that's going to fix it. The only thing, Matt, that could possibly help them is I don't believe that much in any of the other American League teams either.
Yeah, and I guess if you want to do the whole cup half full thing here and you certainly want to look at the sunshine and rainbows for it, you know they'll be active at the deadline, or at least try to be active at the deadline, right? For sure. It can't say for certain that we are going to get that from these other teams. I mean, look, the Rays, just whatever they do, the little pixie dust that they have to figure out every year how to win games is crazy to me. But you look at the Blue Jays and you wonder what they're going to be able to do at the deadline, but... Man, I did put a little sprinkle on the Blue Jays at +650 over the weekend on Saturday. Ooh. And it's looking a little bit better today than it did even a few days ago. And I mean, you know, do I think that that's necessarily going to get home? Not really. I just thought the number was a little wacky considering the way that the Yankees have been playing.
You put them to win the division or to win the American League?
To win the division.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I think I believe in the Rays more than the Blue Jays, and I think I believe in the Yankees more than the Blue Jays, but you're right. Sometimes you look, you go value hunting at a +650. Yeah, I can't argue with you on that one. I would lean Rays if the Yankees are to fall, but I got to go back to what you said, right? When the trade deadline approaches, whether it's trades that will work or not, you'd imagine that the Yankees will be at least, they'll be busy. They'll be attempted buyers. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I just I know they will make a move. I'm wondering how big the impact will be and if it'll matter. You know, I mean, like I think outside of Fried, there's some significant holes there in that pitching staff. So I don't know exactly.
Right. Like is Dylan Cease going to be available? Is Sandy Alcantara going to be available? And those are big ifs. I don't really believe either will be. But if either of those guys were, sure.
Yeah.
Yankees are a team. Probably the Mets are a team, too, that would go all in on trying to get those guys.
I mean, since you are there with the Mets. Two games back now of the Phillies. Yeah. You know, I don't know if you believe that the Braves are a contender in the second half, if you think that they can turn this thing around or not. Is this a three-team division? Is it only a two-team division? And do you believe in the Mets?
So I don't believe in the Mets as constituted right now, but I'm still a firm believer that more is going to come. I think they're going to go on the deadline. They're going to get someone in the out of the bullpen to help out, and they're going to go as hard as they can for a starting pitcher. This was a team they had to believe regression to the means. There was no chance they were ever going to be the best pitching team in all of baseball the way that they were for the first 2 months of baseball. Pete Alonso was not suddenly a 320 batting average guy. That's just not what he is. But then on the flip side, Juan Soto, who was pretty bad for the first 6 or 7 weeks, just had the best month of June maybe ever by a New York Met hitter. So I think when you look at the Mets, they're going to be very live to win the NL East. A lot is going to fall on the shoulders of whether Frankie Montas can be a guy that they can count on, whether Sean Manaea actually can come back, whether Kodai Senga, when he comes back, can really be healthy. Like, if those guys can be healthy and be real pitchers, sure, this team could win the NL East. I would lean towards the Phillies in this division. On Money Moves last week when I was with Stormy, I had said I would put a wager on the Phillies to win that division. I think that they will end up winning that division. I think they're just the better team. But back to your point, you asked about the Braves. Do I believe in the Braves? I'm not sure.
We want to welcome Charlotte out there. Visa is now 24/7 on WZGV, 7:30 a.m. and 97.5 FM. Wall to wall odds, expert analysis, and everything you need to make smarter bets today. So welcome to everybody out there in Charlotte here. In this one, a couple of games that are already going when we got in here. The Twins and the Marlins, top of the third. Marlins are up 1-0 there on this Twins team, and it is scoreless in the Cardinals versus the Pirates. It is Paul Skeens Day, so we will see if he continues on with everything that he's been doing this year. But when we come back, our very own managing editor, Adam Burke, going to join us. We'll see what he has going on in that new NFL betting guide of ours.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime here on a Tuesday. Matt Brown, Keith Irizarry, and wasting no time getting our next guest here on the Progressive Guest Line, our very own managing editor, Adam Burke. And Adam, I'm going to hope that we get you the entire time here. I know that my phone started going crazy as I walked into the studio. There's weather happening in Las Vegas. I know everyone thinks that we wake up every day and all it is 110 outside and there's nothing going on, but there's weather happening right now.
Yeah, it's super, super windy, dust storm, ground stop at McCarran Airport or whatever they're calling it nowadays. So, yeah, you know, it happens. It's rare, but it happens.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen 65, 70 mile an hour winds. Like, that is real weather. So be careful out there, anybody driving around and in this great city of ours. As everybody knows, if you've been listening to the network at all today, you know the NFL betting guide is out. And we get it out nice and early, Adam, and this is kind of we'll do our live read, just actually us bantering back and forth here for all of this, but we want to get it out nice and early because the thing is the general public hasn't really looked into a lot of these markets yet. Yes, we've seen some numbers move from opens, but that is because, hey, these serious gamblers are looking into this. Well, we want you to try to get the best numbers that are available out there because as people start to pay attention to this in about a month from now, these numbers are definitely going to move. So maybe you can get some of this stuff before these things move drastically.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's really important to try and time your market entry properly, especially into a market as tight and as efficient as the NFL typically is. You know, look, and also, I mean, you're going to start getting beat writers talking about things that they see in practice and all that kind of stuff, even before the preseason games actually start. So it's a good time for us to get the guide out. It's 94 pages. It's got over 100 best bets in it from VSiN hosts and contributors, not to mention at least a pick or a lean on all 32 of the teams in the team previews as well. So it's a very comprehensive guide. We also have some fantasy football advice in it from our friends over at Fantasy Points, John Hansen and Ryan Heath. So there's stuff in there for fantasy. There's all the best bets in there you could possibly want. And you can kind of, you know, pick our brains, at least from a reading standpoint, of what we think heading into the season and some of the teams that we're high on and some of the teams that we're not so high on.
Adam, how long does it take you and everybody here at VSiN to put it together?
So, I mean, I would say from conception to conclusion, it's probably depending on the guide, a 6 to 8 week process. You know, the NFL, I mean, fortunately, the NFL is a little bit easier because we know most of the personnel. We've all been paying attention to the draft. Mm-hmm. So we know about all the rookies and free agency and all of that. So even though this is close to 100 pages, it's actually not the worst guide that we do by any means. I think college basketball is easily number one, college football number two in terms of the workload and the difficulty of it. But yeah, I would say it's probably a 6 to 8 week process, you know, because we try to stagger the deadlines for sending stuff in so we don't overwhelm our editors and also our guide formatter, Matt Devine. And also it just kind of helps us, you know, sort of digest the information a little bit more. So 6 to 8 week process, but I'm really, really happy with the product we put out. And of course, I'm going to say this with every guide, but I truly believe it with this one. This is the best guide we've put out, and certainly the best NFL guide we've ever put out.
BC.com/subscribe now through the end of the Super Bowl, $175, or you can get going for just 1 month for as little as $9.99. And Adam, as I put on the Twitter machine, because then there's 8 weeks until the season starts. If you invest $10 now, that's only about $1.50 a week for you to come in and just talk trash to me about all of my picks that I put in there. And that's basically free. So for $1.50 a week, you get to go in and you can sit there and you can ridicule me for the next 8 weeks.
Yeah, and I think it's a great use of money. I think it's a great investment for people to be able to do that. And look, the other thing is, I mean, our college football betting guide comes out August 5th. We'll have a refreshed NFL guide the last week of August that will, you know, be in light of any injuries in the preseason, any injuries in practices, all that kind of thing. But also keep in mind, I mean, the football special, it's not a football-only thing, right? It takes you up through the Super Bowl, but that means our NBA, NHL, and college basketball betting guides are all going to come out, our college football playoff betting guide in that span as well, not to mention all of our Super Bowl coverage. So it's a great investment, not just for the football season, but also for those daily winter sports as they get going here in September, October, November.
All right, let's get to some plays here. So in the NFL betting guide, you have a certain team in the AFC West you are very high on. Why?
Yeah, so I, like a lot of people, I think, very high in the Denver Broncos here this season. I mean, this is a team that probably going to have the best defense in the NFL. If not the best, they'll certainly be a top five type of unit. And, you know, Bo Nix, over his last 14 games last year, 29-8 touchdown interception ratio. He kind of struggled, I think, with the speed of the NFL game a little bit early on with kind of getting into Sean Payton's playbook in real time. But once he got over those first three games, he was quite good. And, you know, this is a guy that Sean Payton handpicked. When you talk about the position in which Bo Nix was drafted, I like the skill position guys. I like the defense a lot. I think Jahdae Barron is going to be a really good addition back there in the secondary. And I mean, we all kind of saw it with the Chiefs, right? I know they made it to the Super Bowl, but it was a struggle. Mahomes was not good during the regular season. Travis Kelce is going to continue to get slower. The defense really carried them through the regular season last year. The Chiefs feel vulnerable to me, and I think Denver is the team best equipped to take advantage of that.
I'm right there with you, my friend. I know that I have the same thing in the guide as well there on the Broncos. What about Coach of the Year? Seems like you're on a kind of the post-hype sleeper here as we talk about, because I know a very popular name last year, but maybe this is the year.
Yeah, so look, I mean, you know, maybe the Lions are just really, really good, right? Maybe it's not all Ben Johnson. And the narrative has really been, oh, you know, Dan Campbell's lost this offensive genius, this offensive guru that turned Jared Goff into, you know, a pretty good quarterback, a guy that we were kind of talking about in terms of the MVP race last season. Yeah, it's a big loss, right? But this is also still a very good football team. I like their replacement coordinator hires. I like Campbell in a lot of different ways. I think at 22-1 for a guy who's got a good chance at winning 12, 13 games again in a very, very difficult division, he'd have to be in the discussion. And to do it without Ben Johnson, maybe this is the time where the voters go, you know what? Maybe this guy's not just a cartoon character who says a lot of interesting things. Maybe he's just a damn good football coach. And because he hadn't gotten the credit in that market the last couple of years, maybe this would be the year that he would get it, you know, in light of Johnson going to the Bears. So I think it's a pretty good value bet there on Campbell at 22-1.
So in the AFC North, I feel like a lot of people are picking the Baltimore Ravens. You like Cincinnati, which I guess then the correlation there would be league MVP. You like Burrow as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, with Dan Pitcher again as his offensive coordinator, I mean, we saw Burrow chuck the ball around the yard a ton last season, and I fully anticipate he'll do that again this season. The defense still has some holes, still has some things to figure out. Trey Hendrickson, obviously a big deal to that defense. So, I think they're going to have to outscore teams. They're going to have to outgun teams to win games. And I think that's going to give Burrow, who's, last year comeback player of the year, now a year removed from that thumb surgery that he had. I think that he's going to be a guy, I guess really 2 years removed. He's going to be a guy who really, puts up huge numbers this season. And I think that the Bengals can be good enough offensively to go out there and knock off the Ravens. And if they do, I think that Burrow is going to have to be very much in that MVP discussion. To me, this is kind of getting double the price on the Bengals to win the AFC North, because if they do, then I think Burrow's going to be a finalist for that award. And I'll take my chances at that point with a plus 650.
I've got a Burrow play in the guide as well, but Will, you got to get the guide if you want to get the Burrow play for me for the for that in the guide. Adam, talking about our very own Adam Burke here, managing editor at VSiN.com. We got about 2 minutes left, Adam. Anything in Major League Baseball you have on the card today?
Yeah, I got one thing left, and it's not a groundbreaking bet by any means, but I laid the Astros run line tonight, mm-hmm. -1.5, -104 against Colorado. Chase Dollander just really hasn't been good at home at all whatsoever, and righties have hit him very well at Coors Field. And as we know, Houston, a very right-handed heavy lineup, but they've been swinging it very well overall, but especially against righties here of late. Another setback for Yordan Alvarez. I'm a little bit concerned that, Jeremy Pena's hurt, but I still think Houston is just going to, take it to Colorado here. They've been playing at a very, very high level. These are games that you want to bank as a team with a division lead, as a team looking to try to put a little bit of distance in those races. So I think a good chance for Houston to beat up on Colorado here, and I think that's precisely what they do.
He is skating.
I was looking at Isak Paredes, by the way. Just jump in really quick. Yeah. I was looking at Isak Paredes in that game as well. So I like your Astros play.
He's skating tripods over on the Twitter machine. Of course, you can find his work each and every day over on VSiN. And of course, awesome, awesome work with the guide as always. Adam Burke, appreciate it, buddy. And hopefully our Broncos take is a-okay here.
Yeah, I hope so. And look, like I said, College Football Betting Guide coming out August 5th. So I'll be hitting up all the hosts for more best bets here. And I know you'll have some good contributions for me. Yeah. So look, also one other thing I want to mention here. I really, really appreciate the way that everybody on air promotes this guide. I mean, subscriptions are a very, very big part of the equation of what we do over at VSiN.com. These guides are critically important, and they're super valuable to those who are betting into these markets. So, thanks to all the hosts and producers for what they do, but also thanks to our subscribers and those people who are going to become subscribers here with that football special.
Yeah, I already had a couple of people reach out on the Twitter machine and say they have already enjoyed a lot of the content that they've taken in with the guide and just hit today. So good on that as well. Appreciate it. Adam, when we come back, we're going to look into that guide a little bit further. We're going to take a look at Steve Mackinnon's 2025 NFL Power Ratings and see what Keith thinks about him, see what I think about him, any teams that we think should be higher, any teams that we think should be lower. Coming back here on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN Primetime here on a Tuesday. Matt Brown, Keith Irizarry, and this is a 0-0 Cardinals and Pirates there, Keith, and it's the Pirates have zero hits because they cannot hit the baseball. I mean, this team is so bad at hitting the baseball. It's 36-50. How did they ever get to? It's like, how did they ever get to 36 wins? Like, how did they ever get to 36 wins along the way? It's unbelievable to me.
Well, I mean, because sometimes you accidentally get wins, but
yes.
As of late, the Pirates had actually been pretty good, right? 7-0 win over the Cards yesterday, 12-1 over the Mets the day before, 9-2, 9-1. Either the way to surmise that is that the Mets are that terrible to give up that many runs and the Cardinals had a bad day yesterday, or the Pirates aren't as bad as we think?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm like, let me go. And then I was like, I'm starting to do all the little stuff here with all this team. But it is Skeens Day. He is he's given up three hits, though, already to this Cardinals team. He does have four strikeouts in three innings. So we will keep that updated. They're still 1-0 Marlins in the Twins there in that one, bottom of the fourth. We did get a run in the Rays and the A's. The Rays get one across. So it is 1-0 in the bottom of the second there. And end of the first, Red Sox up 2-0 there on the Reds. Let's see what happened. Who got that?
Jaron Duran.
Yes, Jaron Duran.
Jaron Duran, he scored.
Roman Anthony
with an RBI double, yeah.
Yeah, all kinds of – a lot of contributors. Wasn't like a couple of home runs or anything like that. But we will keep you updated on all of these scores throughout the course of the show. And we have one final in Toronto, 12-5 over the New York Yankees. If you guys are coming out to Vegas, you want to play in any of these big contests out here, we say all the time, all you have to do is come once, and then you don't have to live here to be a part of all the contests. So all of the big stuff going on out here behind me, whether it be the millions, whether it be the Grandissimo, if you want to pony up $100,000 and play in the Grandissimo, you can play in that as well, or just Circus Survivor. Winter Circle Proxy can get it done for you. So when you come out here, you have to sign up in person, but Winter Circle Proxy would then put in your picks for you. So be sure, wintercircleproxy.com/VSIN. They actually had clients win $9.3 million over the last two seasons out there for this. So Winter Circle Proxy, the preferred proxy here of the of everybody here at VSiN. So wintercirclesproxy.com/VSiN. All right, Keith. So in that NFL betting guide, again, out now for you pro subscribers, you can already go in and go download it. If you need to become a pro subscriber, this is the time to do it. Steve Mackinnon put in his power rankings, and I'm just curious as to any of these that jumped off the page to you as to teams that maybe you're not quite as high on, or teams maybe that you are definitely higher on than they have right now. His number one team in here is Philadelphia, his number two team, Baltimore, and his number three team is Buffalo. I think varying opinions out there of which one of the three teams is the best, but I think those three teams are going to be your most common number ones in just about anybody's power rankings. Now, you might shuffle one and two, you might shuffle three and two, whatever it might be. Maybe you like Buffalo more than everyone, you know, Buffalo's one, but I think those three teams are pretty universally the top three teams in everybody's power ratings.
Yeah, I would 100% agree, and I actually like it in that order, too. Mm-hmm. Now, listen, that doesn't mean that the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl again. It doesn't mean that the Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl, but I think the Ravens helped themselves this offseason. If you believe in the power of Adam Sandler, Derrick Henry's going to run for over 2,000 yards. Book it. If you don't know the story, Adam Sandler is going to put Derrick Henry in one of his movies if Derrick Henry runs for over 2,000 yards. Dan Patrick had set that up. It was a really cool story. The Eagles, I thought they had a nice offseason. There was the fear about Saquon Barkley and that podcast saying that, you know, I may just decide to walk away at one point. I don't think that's happening anytime soon. So I think those two teams are really good. Josh Allen defending league MVP. The defense, I think, will be better this year. The offense will be solid as well. When you get to the next couple of teams is where I think you're going to get arguments from a lot of people.
Yeah, I am with you right there on the Eagles. Like, I just look at this team, and it's very hard to poke holes in this Eagles team. I mean, whether you are in love with Jalen Hurts or not, the way that they run this offense and how efficient they are with the tush push and how great Saquon Barkley still is, and you still have Smith and Brown – he doesn't have to be a top five quarterback in the NFL for this team to be right back where they were last year, Keith. And then you look on the defensive side of the ball, and for people who are fans of Pro Football Focus, if you go to PFF, when you hear me say it's green and blue across the board, every one of the players on the defensive side earned a rating that got them either into above league average or into the elite rating right there. And so it's hard for me to poke holes in that team. I think the Eagles at the top is perfectly fine with me, but I'm with you. So now you get into this second tier in Kansas City, Detroit, Green Bay, Washington. Let's see if we can throw the Rams even in there as well with Tampa Bay.
Sure.
And yeah, I do actually have a little bit of qualms with this, but I've talked about this since the offseason. I am lower on the Chiefs, I think, than most people are out there. It is another year older for Travis Kelce. I look at the way that this team has been able to kind of get by without having an elite receiver and Patrick Mahomes basically just being superhuman out there. Well, I think some of these other teams have just caught up to that a little bit. Their personnel is better. They've understood what the Chiefs have tried to do over the last several seasons. I don't have the Chiefs as the fourth best team in mind, but I guess I could be talked into it. Where are you on the Chiefs?
I would probably just swap the Chiefs and the Lions, but I'm actually not out on the Chiefs as of yet. And I know a lot of people are. I know. I mean, we just had Adam Burke on. He was talking about the Denver Broncos. I know you're high on the Denver Broncos. If you read through that guide, a lot of people are high on the Denver Broncos. If you listen to these airwaves over the last couple of weeks, whenever NFL stuff is talked about, it seems like people are high on the Broncos. And I'm not anti-Broncos.
Right.
But I think Pacheco is as good of a running back as they could want in Kansas City. Kareem Hunt will still be there, and he will still take care of business. Now, if Rashee Rice is back and healthy, and if he could be a one, I like Xavier Worthy. I like the idea of Hollywood Brown. Mm. And then we got to get to Travis Kelce. So I'm not on the Travis Kelce is washed bandwagon. I know a lot of people are. I don't know if we're ever going to see the 1,100 receiving yard Travis Kelce, but I think we're going to see little flashes of it. I think that this team is just a hair better than the Denver Broncos still. I know the win total set at 11.5. I still see them as a 12-win team. Mm-hmm. So I'm taking the over on their wins. I'm obviously taking them to make the playoffs. I know we're doing this later, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'll bury the lead and give away. I'm taking them to win the division. I know a lot of people are taking the Broncos. I'm still on the Kansas City Chiefs.
As you look at these teams that do have high ratings in here, is there any team that you are particularly lower on than some of these, than at least in Steve's power ratings?
I'm not as high on the Cincinnati Bengals as everybody else. Like, I still think they're going to score a lot of points, but their defense is going to give up a lot of points too. Like, I know, you know, Burke has them winning their division. I think you're on my side with the Ravens. I think the Ravens are going to be the creme de la creme of that division. I don't think Arizona should be as high as they are. I mean, a 24 is not like crazy high, but I think Denver is better than Arizona and they have the same power rating. I think Miami might be better than Arizona. They have the same power rating. I think Minnesota might be better than Arizona. They have the same power rating. And it really depends on what you think of Aaron Rodgers. If you think Aaron Rodgers can go for 28 touchdowns and 11 to 13 interceptions again, like he did with the Jets, if you believe that, then I would probably put the Steelers ahead of the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, my team that I can't, and I'm not going to say that I'm down on them comparatively to the power ratings here, but I guess it's just the team that I can't completely wrap my brain around is Green Bay. I can't decide whether I like Green Bay or hate Green Bay or I'm somewhere in the middle with this team, because you start to look at the personnel and you're just like, okay, there are players on the offensive side. I don't think there's anybody that you absolutely love, but there are at least players that fill out the offensive side, and the offensive line is pretty good. But then you look on the defensive side, and there are definitely some holes at various positions, specifically at corner, where they don't have a good cornerback at all. And the pass rush last year wasn't there. Can that get any better? I mean, guys are really, really going to have to step up from what they did last season. So I don't know. It's just, this Green Bay team is an enigma to me.
They're also in a weird division, right? Because most people believe the Chicago Bears, with Ben Johnson as their head coach, are going to take a step forward. The Caleb Williams could potentially finally get a Bears quarterback to over 4,000 yards passing. Yeah, the defense, I'm not in love with Green Bay. And it's weird, too, when you look at the offense, and I come from the fantasy football background. It's how I kind of burst into this scene, this space. There's nobody out of the wide receivers that you're like, I need to have on my team. Like Matthew Golden, I'm excited about the prospect of him. Jaden Reed had a couple of big games last year. Romeo Doubs, like the vision of him is good. Okay.
Right.
None of that excites me that much.
Same deal. Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah. I just can't, I don't know. It's something about that Green Bay team. I just cannot quite get there. On the complete polar opposite end, the bottom rated team in the NFL, according to Steve Mackinnon, is the New Orleans Saints. I've been screaming this from a mountaintop. I am so down on the Saints. I think they are easily going to be one of the three worst teams in all the NFL. So I agree with them down there at the bottom.
I'm taking the under on the Saints win total of 4.5.
Yeah, I mean, they're just absolutely putrid. Tennessee way down there. Cleveland way down there. Actually, the Jets below the Giants in Steve Mackinnon's power ratings, if you can believe that. So that could be a little bit of a debate for sure. We can talk a little bit more about that throughout the course of the show. We still have some first pitches still to come as well. We're going to hit on all of that. It's right here on Visa Prime Time.
Mm-hmm.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN Primetime. Feeling pretty good here on a Tuesday. We're indoors, so it's good. We've learned through Adam Burke that there is a crazy storm going on out here in Las Vegas. People that think that all we get is sunshine and we just go outside and melt. That's not the case. Apparently winds that will blow you away and have to ground airplanes as well, Keith.
I'll be meteorologist also, so I'm in New York, and we've had like Las Vegas type of weather over the last couple of days. Temperatures have been in the 90s. It's been like sweltering hot. About 2 hours ago, it suddenly just started storming. It was raining, and apparently it's going to rain for like the next, I don't know, 14, 16 hours. So I'll be inside as well.
Which got us a game postponed today as well. So no Mets game this evening. So if you were looking to bet that one, unfortunately, the weather there where Keith is not going to allow us to do that. So it was going to be our game of the day, actually. And unfortunately, we're not going to be able to bet that game. We still have a couple of first pitches that are coming here momentarily. And in about, let's call it 20-ish minutes, we have Baltimore and Texas. Jacob DeGrom is going to be on the hill as a minus 190-ish favorite out there. Baltimore comes in as about a plus 160 underdog. 7.5 is our total here in this one. The Orioles are going to go with Brandon Young, and with Brandon Young comes, yes, only a handful of starts. I think we're looking at three starts here, and his advanced stats, Keith, are not as bad as his 7.11 ERA says, but it is a 1.97 whip, and we are looking at a 4.99 xFIP, a 5.34 Sierra, and a 4.78 xERA. So it's certainly not great, and in a very small sample size, just an 18% K rate and a 15% walk rate to go along with that. And so, guys, I'm going to suck it up and play the over 4.5 team total here on the Rangers at plus money. It comes in at about plus 120 out there in the market. You can find the highs plus 122, so shop around as always. But it's still professional hitters. I understand Texas lineup is bad, Keith, and I understand that why Langford's not in there and all that stuff. But, man, the Orioles bullpen also very taxed as well. They had to throw five different guys yesterday, at least an inning. And if you look at just over the last 6 or 7 days, they've just had to throw a lot of these guys out of the bullpen. So if Young can't go very deep in this game, which he's only, you know, gone four innings, it seems like, in the three starts that he's gone out there, it's going to be a tired bullpen that's going to have to come in there and try to get some of these Rangers hitters out as well. So I saw the plus money there on the team total and thought that might be the direction I wanted to hit this thing.
Yeah, I'm not trying to pile on Brandon Young either, but, you know, opponents are hitting 320 against him. So I would echo your play here. I think it's a smart one. And then I'm a player prop guy, so I would try to find someone that I believe will be able to mash against, Young and whatever pitchers are coming out of the bullpen. I got a question for you, though. All right, so Jacob DeGrom, when we look at what he's done, 8-1, 1.56 ERA, 12 earned in his last 11 starts, has 68 strikeouts. That's more base runners than he's allowed. But he's typically getting to 7. Mm-hmm. And my goodness, these books are sharp. So they're setting the number at 7.5, and the over 7.5 gets you to plus money. And if you don't go through all the stats, you sit there and you go, how do I not play this?
Yeah.
Jacob DeGrom is mowing everyone down. And oh, by the way, Baltimore strikes out the fourth most of any team in Major League Baseball. So should we play the over 7.5 at plus money?
It's the only play, and honestly, I looked at that one long and hard, and I was like, I looked at it long and hard, because here's the other thing, too. I understand Gary Sanchez is running really pure right now and hitting, but, like, what do we know about Gary Sanchez historically over the course of his career? He's, like, good for at least one a game, if not two a game. So it's like you can almost, like, put two punch outs already in right there just because Gary Sanchez is in the lineup, and then you go along with all these other guys that have been striking out all year long. I'm with you. I think because DeGrom hasn't been like, oh my gosh, the greatest thing we've ever seen in our whole lives this season, that we're not understanding he's having still a very, very good year. Like, DeGrom still has it. He's just not DeGrom of 3 years ago.
Yeah, and he's thrown the most innings pitched since his last Cy Young season. So I actually think Jacob DeGrom has looked fantastic. I also will continue to throw this out there. If the Texas Rangers continue to flounder, and as you approach the trade deadline, they've got a lot of names in that lineup and a lot of names on that roster that could intrigue some people, including Jacob DeGrom. Let's double back to about 37 minutes ago when you and I were talking about New York baseball. I can tell you this. I am in New York. I listen to a lot of New York sports talk radio while I'm driving places or whether I'm doing work around the house and stuff like that. New York Mets fans want the Mets to find a way to bring DeGrom home. Mm-hmm. It would be fascinating. I don't know if it's realistic. It would be fascinating.
It really would. And to bring up your point here, because this is still betting. This isn't just sports talk radio that we're doing. If they decide to become sellers, I mean, you got to think, okay, Adolis Garcia is going to be on the move. Marcus Simeon's going to be on the move. Like, these are veteran dudes that they don't need to hold on to.
Simeon might be on the move, even if they're not sellers.
Yeah. Yeah. And so,
yeah.
I mean, maybe this is like an in season under team as it is right now, with the assumption that they're going to be sellers. Right. I mean, like, you get rid of, you get rid of DeGrom, you get rid of a couple of bats in this lineup. They can't hit anyway. I mean, right. The team can't hit anyway. And then you get rid of a couple of dudes that actually at least somewhat can hit. And if DeGrom happens to leave as well, like you just mentioned, I mean, this is like might be an in season under, like almost in the next week or so before this gets really hot and heavy with who might be heading out of town.
Yeah, I like it. It's always a fascinating thing as, you know, like a prognosticator. Mm. You have to try to guess, will a team really sell? Because if you believe they're going to sell, an in-season under would be fantastic. Would be a great play.
All right, so this next one, you have a play in as well. This first pitch coming to us here. Yeah, same deal. In about 15 or so minutes, the Guardians and the Cubs, Gavin Williams and Matthew Boyd. This is minus as high as minus 210 out there right now in favor of the Cubs at home. You can get 168, 170-ish out there on Cleveland if you want to. 8.5 is our total. How are you looking at this one?
Well, last weather check, his wind is supposed to be blowing out at Wrigley Field. So I actually think if you wanted to take an over, I wouldn't have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Matthew Boyd guy, and as good as Gavin Williams shows sometimes, I think he could be touched as well. I think there's some Chicago Cubs players that I would look at some props. But I'm going to go Jose Ramirez. So first and foremost, what has he done against Matthew Boyd? 12 of 41. That's about a .300 batting average. Has 3 home runs, has a double, has a triple. So there's a litmus for you. You can see a baseline and know that he has seen Boyd well. And let's assume he sees him twice. So only 2 hits in his last 5 games for Jose Ramirez. That's when you start, like a guy like him, you go, should I worry or has it been some tough luck? Well, I looked at some of the numbers. Mm-hmm. Hard hit rate, still high, kind of some bad luck for him, and he's not striking out. So probably will come back to what Jose Ramirez normally is. As for topping the prop that I'm going to go, I'm going to do the as we started dubbing it, the Herbie, the hits, the runs, the RBI prop, over 1.5. I locked it in at minus 145. I'm seeing it now more like minus 150 at most of the books, but if you can still find minus 145, little juicy, but I'm okay with it. Total base prop works there too. I wouldn't be mad at you if you want to put a sprinkle on a home run as well. In his career, Jose Ramirez has just crushed lefties, and he'll probably see Boyd, like I said, at least twice with the wind blowing out. I think that's a good play.
Yeah, you know, the other thing about Ramirez as well is, remember he got plunked and then had to miss a game as well. So, like, I think every day that goes by, that forearm probably is getting better and better and better on him as well. I have no worries either about Ramirez and think he'll be perfectly fine. So definitely like that one and probably getting a little bit of a discount too, just because of recent results, as you mentioned. Guys, if you want to bet at a different type of book out there, it is ProfitX. It's offering the best odds all baseball season long. And like, this is an exchange as opposed to your typical sports book. So you're betting against guys like me and Keith, as opposed to the sports book itself. You can go in, you can even put bets in there if you want to and see if anyone picks those up. So you download ProfitX today, use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N, and you can earn up to 200 in profit cash over your first month. Again, this is available in 40 plus sites out there, and it is a peer-to-peer exchange as opposed to a normal sportsbook. So again, promo code VSIN, earn up to 200 in profit cash over your first month. We are looking at the games in progress out there. The Reds did tack on one here in the top of the third. So now 2-1 in favor of the Red Sox there in that one. We another run across for the Rays. So 2-0 for them in the bottom of the third. Still 1-0 there. Miami and Minnesota. This is in the bottom of the sixth. A little bit of a pitcher's duel going on out there. Scoreless in Pittsburgh as well. Are they still getting no hit? No, they got a hit. Okay, there we go.
No.
They got a hit. There we go. They got a hit. Paul Skeens, 4 innings. He has given up 5 hits in this one, Keith, and walked 1 and only struck out 4. I know people were wondering, about what's going on with him. 75 pitches through four innings for Skeens as well. Mm. So just something to look at here.
Quickly double back to the Braves, by the way. They have two hits. It's Olsen and Riley, two of the guys I had mentioned. Riley already with a double. So if you played his total base prop, you already hit it.
Yeah, this is something to watch here with Skeens a little bit. He has not been untouchable as he was before. So we shall see. When we come back, Jeff Sherman going to join us from over at Westgate, VP of Risk Management over there at Golf Odds over on the Twitter machine. We'll see what he's got going on with the John Deere that goes on here on Thursday.